Hello and welcome to Dungeon Jedi Masters, a podcast discussing everything Star Wars 5e. My name is Todd, I've got Tegan here, and we're looking forward to jumping into hyperspace with you. Let's go! Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Dungeon Jedi Masters Podcast, Season 5, Episode 3. Tegan, how are you doing today?
Doing pretty good. It's like 60 degrees in Michigan, so soaking up the sun.
Yeah, we have come out of winter, traditional winter, and it's great to have some, you know, better weather out there. So hope things are sunny and bright wherever you all are listening to this. So welcome to today's episode. We're going to talk about clue hunting and skill challenges, something that I personally use a lot in my games, and just something I thought we'd share. I think we've talked about skill challenges before, but you know, this might be a little bit different way of doing it, or just see, you know, what other ideas we think about during this discussion. But of course, be sure to check us out, dungeonjedimasters.com, for access to all of our content, including this podcast, YouTube for VODs of actual plays and other DJM and Star Wars 5e content, Instagram, Twitter for some content updates, and then, of course, our Patreon. Patreon is the best way to support the content that we create, and with that support does come some exclusive content. Before we get to that, let's give a shout out to some of our new members. We've got a new tier one member, Sully Hoggs. And Tegan, tell us our new tier two members as of last recording.
Yep, big shout out to our tier two members, Joe, Alex, Ian, and Joel. Definitely appreciate the support and definitely keep your eyes open. There's going to be another Patreon resource coming pretty soon that Todd's going to talk a little bit more about in the next minute or so.
Absolutely. Beginning of the month here with this episode, we have a new Patreon release, and that's going to be our second content pack. Hope you all enjoyed the last one we did a couple months ago. So this one, we have a transport ship and a manufacturing facility. So the transport ship, I definitely had, you know, your traditional commercial airliner in mind. But of course, this is Star Wars, this is sci-fi. So, you know, you can expand that. Maybe it's something real luxurious and there's, you know, dining areas and gaming areas or whatever. But this will have just some basic, like the last content pack, some NPCs, some plot hooks, and little things like that, just to help you get started with that. And then on the other side is a manufacturing facility. One little snapshot of what a facility could be. Obviously, that could be endless options wise, but again, more plot hooks, NPCs and things, some custom items to help flesh that out and get things rolling in your story. So check that out. All tier two and tier three members of Patreon will have access to that out with this podcast here. So be sure to check that out.
Definitely. It was a lot of fun to have with Star Wars in the manufacturing zones. Like, be a fun little thing to insert an adventure you got brewing up.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we've seen it plenty in, you know, in the movies and shows and everything. So certainly a staple backdrop for content there. All right. Tegan, tell us about your adventures with your actual plays. Where are we at? I want to say invasion, but it's not invasion.
Occupation
is this. There you go. Occupation is this. Do we have an episode tonight?
Yeah, we'll have an episode tonight. I think we're on session 14. 13 or 14. So definitely come through, hang out with us on that side. Hopefully, last week we were going to stream one, but had some technical difficulties. So hopefully our ninja software is being cooperative and get to catch up with the crew as they fight against the Yuuzhan Vong and try to bring the galaxy together to overthrow the Vong's occupation. So they're going to be heading to deal with some Terran attacks this mission with the Yuuzhan Vong shaping them to hunt the Jedi and Sith. So it should be a pretty fun one.
Awesome. So check that out live on Tegan's YouTube channel. And I believe those VODs also make their way over to the DJM YouTube channel. So if you need to catch up on things, a couple places to check those out. So, all right, I think that's everything on the front end. Let's dive into this conversation. Tegan, I know you've done skill challenges a lot, whether I've been a player with you or I've just seen that. I know we've talked about this. It's something that in the play by post that I've been using a lot. I think with play by post too, it helps a little bit because obviously that's a little bit of a slower format. And so when I don't want to go turn by turn in, you know, whatever it is, combat or otherwise, sometimes a skill challenge, which can come down to just a few rules, really helps push that narrative forward. It keeps things going. And still, I think you can come away with real good outcome of that. So I think it's still narratively appropriate and mechanically appropriate as well. So I wanted to start with what I call clue hunting. I got this from another game master that I played under, Cheyenne Wright. He does a lot with Savage Worlds games. In that game, you know, different dice system over there, but basically the concept is the same. With clue hunting is the players, you know, they'll have a few roles to attempt what they're after. You're always going to get what you're after, the info that you're after. It's just a matter of the outcome and if you get away clean or not. Are you investigating a crime boss, and do they learn that you're investigating them or not? That's what the dice rolls come down to. It's not a matter of roll the dice to see if you get the info. Because I think we talk a lot about, you know, you don't want to hide important information behind a dice roll, because if the dice don't go in their favor, then what do, right? You're just stuck. So this is, you know, you're still going to get the info. The risk is, does that person find out that you're looking for them or something else, etc. So when I'm running this clue hunting, you know, element of a skill challenge, usually I run with about three rolls for that. I'll have the players, you know, decide. It's pretty free, open to on what they want to use, skill wise, something that makes sense. You know, if they get really creative with it, I'm all for that. That's another thing I love about doing this stuff is, as a player, really give me a good argument of why are you using animal handling in this investigation for, you know, going after this crime boss, right? If they come up with something really clever, I'm all for that. That's awesome. Because obviously, you know, as players, you want to lean on skills that you're proficient with and things like that. So yeah, you know, roll with, give me the best roles that you want to go after, skills you want to utilize, and make those checks. And then, you know, after those, you know, I'll usually kind of set a DC here that I think is appropriate for the situation, for the risk. And then it's just a matter of, you know, do they pass, do they fail? Doesn't matter if they, you know, nat 20, nat 1, it's just a pass fail situation. Sometimes I'll do like a 2 out of 3 situation. If you get 2 out of 3, it's better. Things like that. But yeah, at the end of it, you're going to get the info that they're after. And then it's just a matter of, did they fail all three roles? All right, the crime boss definitely knows you're sniffing around. And so there's going to be reinforcements when you go and pursue them, or maybe they're going to come after you, things like that. So it's kind of really how it boils down in a basic clue hunting investigation. Obviously, the crime boss is one specific situation. There's a lot of different other things. I've got an example here we can touch on a little later. But Tegan, I'm going to let you chime in and tell me about how you run. Any thoughts on that? And then something like that with information investigations, anything you do differently in your games?
Definitely. And it's kind of overall skill adventures. I think they're skill adventures or challenges, depending on which edition you're coming from. They're a great way to get players involved on that side, especially because you abstract it, you get it down to a role, but it also gives players like a lot of chance to kind of put some flavor on what they're doing and interacting with a situation, whether it be investigating, escaping from somewhere, kind of whatever situation you wanted to throw it into to kind of bring some tension, as well as some tension, but kind of a quick mechanics at the same time. They're definitely one of my favorites to employ. Definitely with the skill, I do like the clue hunting piece there. It's definitely kind of a cool way to get an investigation going. So I know you mentioned some of the consequences with that too, usually with kind of the people being aware, because definitely you don't want to throw the information behind bad roles. So it kind of gives them a chance to kind of get that information they need, but have some consequences. What sort of the consequences you mentioned? What type of things have gone wrong for them when they've been spotted or maybe can completely fail the challenge?
Yeah, I think, and I was just thinking about this as you're talking about that, you have to think ahead a little bit, you know, because, you know, things have to make sense as you go forward. And I guess where I was going with that is, all right, are they going after this crime, as this example, this crime boss, You know, are they then going to go after him to his facility? So that's where I had said earlier about, okay, he knows you're coming. There's going to be a lot more reinforcements, right? So you have to think about, you know, those consequences. How are they appropriate? How do they make sense? But otherwise, you could do things like maybe there's weapon confiscation or, you know, little things like that, a resource, you know, losing of resources, you know, things like that. Health, HP, I don't think is great in that sense because it's in a skill challenge. These skill challenges are generally over a period of time, right? Like my clue hunting is probably, you know, you're going out 2-3 hours. This is a 2-3 hour chunk of time that the players are, you know, spending to investigate. So that's the narrative of this. It's not just a you know, round. And so HP, I don't think is a great one there because it's pretty easy to just come back and then, you know, take a rest and deal with that, you know, unless you really put them in a situation that they can't. So, you know, there could be maybe a health situation, HP situation, but yeah, otherwise, you know, resources like that, I think for the most part, it's been things where someone just knows that, you know, you've been looking for them and then it's either they come after you or there's reinforcements. Because generally, you know, these investigation things are, we're going after somebody or looking for something and kind of that's how it turns out.
Right. So I think especially when you're doing a skill challenge, whether it be for investigation or throughout your adventure, I think having like good consequences is always like for either the partial fail states or the full fail states, I think it just kind of helps move it along and kind of describing how those go to like an investigation. You maybe somebody got sloppy and camera caught them or something like that. So you kind of build up until whatever that final consequence is and the huts or whoever you're investigating. So I don't know, so there's some squad of bounty hunters or something after you for poking around too much.
Yeah, yeah, it's great. And I think it also, as you said a couple of times, Tegan, is it ramps up the tension too. When you tell your players like, all right, you found out about, you know, Jabba the Hutt and what he's doing, but he knows that you're looking for him. And so, you know, you don't know what's going to happen, but something might happen. And I think that just, you know, it wrenches up this potential tension. And I think that's great for the storytelling aspect of it. Because then, you know, how are players going to react to that? How are the characters going to react to that? Are they going to do something differently than going forward? So I think that's really cool. One of these, you know, clue hunting specifically, it's still kind of, it's essentially a skill challenge, but an example that I brought from the play-by-post game I'm running is a facility investigation. So the characters, the players were going to meet with a crime boss about some cargo exchange, and they wanted to investigate the rendezvous point and just see, all right, are we walking into a trap, things like that. So it started with, and this one also, there's another little piece that I've been doing is group average for these. And it's something I've been playing with, but I'll set like a group average. So basically whoever's participating, roll, all of you roll, and then you take the average of that and see where it matches to the DC. You know, I've liked that because I think it adds a little bit of difficulty to it in my experience. And then everyone's participating though. But anyway, so they first had to get to this facility. So they made rolls on that. And you know, it all goes back to how are they doing this? You know, are you being acrobatic and jumping through the skyline swiftly to not be seen? Are you being stealthy, rushing through the shadows? You know, and if you succeed, you do. If you don't, okay, someone maybe spotted you. So even as simple as getting to your location, you could throw some skill challenges in there here. And then they were investigating the outside of the building. It's just seeing what's there. Is there cameras? Where are the entrances, the exits, etc.? This one, if they wanted to get into the building, and then in inside investigations, that was optional for this. They didn't end up doing that. And then finally getting away, just to make sure that no one saw them there. So 3 to 5 potential options there. This one specifically, 2 players went out for this little investigation. They got a lot of good information. I do believe that they had failed some of the roles. And, you know, then when they went for the rendezvous the next night, the person knew that they were there. And I think it really changed the dynamics of the situation. You know, it's like, okay, maybe we shouldn't try anything because they're aware that we were sniffing around. And, you know, just it just brought a different element, a different direction for the story for that.
Nice. And I know the play-by-play post is still ongoing, so I know you may not be able to go in depth with it. But with that figure, whoever it was that owned the facility, being aware, what did they do with that knowledge to the players?
Yeah, so that was a little bit ago. I don't think there's anything, down the road that, spoiler wise or anything, especially for the players. But, I think it really just set that tone of, all right, this person knows what they're doing. They are aware of the players, the characters sniffing around. So, we're here for an exchange. Let's make this straightforward and fair. And, of course, the crime boss kind of initially lowballed on the offer, and then there was some good back and forth. And I think that also contributed to that of like, all right, we're messing with somebody serious. This is not just somebody we're going to push over, things like that. So yeah, I think it just really set the tone for the situation.
It's always kind of cool to get those extra pieces that can add that tension or that seriousness to the situation, kind of let players know they're kind of in the thick of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it really came out great for that, definitely. Yeah, so essentially it's a skill challenge, but that one was a little bit more clue hunting because talking about the clue hunting side of that, they were going to get the information they were after. They were going to be, they were going to see the entrances and exits of this building. They were going to see is the door locked? Is there security cameras? If they would have went inside, what does it look like? They were going to get pretty much anything they were after. It's just a matter of were they successful in doing that? And they weren't fully, they got the information, but at a cost, and that cost was the crime boss knew they were coming, kind of a thing there. So yeah, that's my clue hunting there. It is essentially a skill challenge, and I've done some skill challenges in other ways too. I've got another example here that's essentially a race, speeder bike race over to that said cargo that they were after. Tegan, anything with skill challenges that you utilize? I know we've talked about this a bit, but how do you like to use them, and anything specific that you do with them?
Definitely, I usually like them because skill challenges are a great way to make a scene cinematic. Because you don't have to go with the kind of rules as written abilities, rules as written capabilities of your people. You can kind of let them live out their class or their character fantasy a little bit with whatever moment you're interacting with. So I like them to be able to be used. I've used them for escapes when something's gonna blow up and they need to make it out without being hurt or without their ship being damaged or some severe catastrophe happening. I love it because it gives players a chance to really kind of just go in depth on how they're describing their character and the flavor. And hopefully the roles will cooperate with them. But it's always great when you need a moment with tension, where you don't want to introduce a lot of like new mechanics to the situation, because that time new mechanics can be fun to create, but a lot of times it slows it down because players are trying to think about the new mechanics as they're going through. But skill challenges, if you use them a few times with your party, they'll get used to them and can kind of bring that flavor, bring that fun. You can use the tension with their failure states and all that, and pretty much apply them to anything you really need to do.
Yeah, I love that. I think that's perfect. That's exactly, what you should be aiming for with these things. I use, essentially I've used skill challenges to replace traditional combat encounters, where I just don't feel that it's necessary to draw out a full combat turn by turn encounter here. I think the fight is necessary to the narrative, but the combat, this turn by turn combat, I should say, is not. So let's just do a couple, skill rolls and see what the outcome is. And I think that's just a great way to, push things forward. And the one you said, Tegan, with like the escape, I think that's great. Definitely ramp up that tension and create something cool. So just kind of speaking of that, the one I mentioned was so this one they were racing out to get to this cargo of weapons. And so this one I did a best of three piloting skill challenge. Again, I did a group average. And if the players got two successes before two failures, they get to the cargo. So this is one where there is a true fail state. So if they had two failures, then the people chasing them, they would stop, and then that would probably fall into a traditional combat or something. It just they would have to go from there. And then I threw a little thing in here. If the group result, because I set a DC on this of 14 at the time, if they were below a 10 on the group average, which would have been pretty rough. But I threw in a little extra piece that it's, they slow down too much, and so then they have disadvantage on their next check. So throwing in a little things like that to kind of impact the roles. There was another one I was doing where they had a yeah, there was a third. They had two pilots, and then they had a third character that was providing cover fire. And if they had a successful hit with their attack, Then the pilots got advantage because it kind of like threw off the people pursuing them, and so it allowed the pilots to concentrate more and push further ahead. So, little things in here you can work in that expand beyond just a single dice roll, things that can impact each other. I think generally you should keep it all with the players. Don't really have any of your NPCs doing this. It should all be, player rolled, and then just the effects, how those roles impact things all around there. But that one worked out great as well. I think that one got really tense, and they really loved when they got that advantage from their gunner on the back of the speeder bike, and they came through and they pulled through, and it was a successful little trek out to their target.
Nice. One thing I want to comment on too earlier, you mentioned as well with kind of utilizing it for battles. Skill challenges are perfect for that, especially if you want to burn resources in between combats without taking a half hour of your time. I've used them a lot of times for mass battles too. Like if you wanted to describe like this Rogue One-esque where the whole planet's pretty much fighting, but you don't really want to try to map that out. You can really kind of have them go get thematic with it, get their Lord of the Rings on, just chopping down mooks as they're going through, and it can really add some stakes to it. But also, and well, I know we mentioned this earlier for the clue ones, but for those, well, the clue investigations, the HP may not be a great resource. For battle ones, it's great on that side. You can, depending on the level, use a D6 to a couple D6 each time they fail. They take that damage and kind of burn some resources in between. Great way to make it cinematic, quick, and still have that resource burn for any need.
Yeah, absolutely. Tegan, when you do that, how many rolls, obviously with a skill challenge, I think part of the point here, especially when you're replacing something like combat, is we're getting away from that, turn by turn and, multiple rolls and things. So in your use of this, do you have a set limit of how many rolls people are making? And then in addition to that HP, any other resource use, do you say like, all right, you used up X percent of your ammunition or things like that? How do you determine that stuff when it's in something abstract like a skill challenge?
Definitely. So usually I do, depending on how challenging I want to make it, if it's an easy one, I do three successes before three failures.
Okay.
The more complex I want it, I've done as many as eight, I think, successes before three failures. So just kind of really showing whatever they're trying to do in that moment, significantly difficult. So with that, so usually it's HP. I allow players though, if they do want to burn a power, to cast like for some reason telekinesis or something like that could really be useful there. That they can burn that power, it burns the points, whatever they need to do, but it brings the DC of whatever they're doing down by their spell level.
Okay.
So they can kind of still use those resources and have a impact on that side, but they've got to burn them and they've got to kind of contribute it to the narrative too.
I love that you touched on, how you increase your difficulty for a skill challenge. So the easy one is three success before three failures, and then to make it harder, you just increase the number of successes they have to get. So they have to get five before three, or whatever. Do you do anything to allow them? I have before. What have I done? I think I've allowed to trade a success to get rid of a failure. So if they're like two failures, because obviously that third failure means they're done. And if someone succeeds, I'll allow them to like wipe it off. And I don't know, maybe that's just a wash and doesn't matter, but I think it kind of, it gave them another chance to do things there. Do you do anything like that or allow them to kind of impact the success and failures in any way?
So I don't usually let them switch with one because usually, especially with Star Wars 5e, so many people have expertise. It's hard for them to fail. So I usually want to keep that tension piece there. But one thing I do allow those, if they do come up with like a really cool like flavor or kind of like how they're applying the skill to whatever is going on, sometimes I'll tweak the DC, raise it or lower to give them the extra D4 they can roll onto it too, just to kind of show that they're getting a little bit of extra benefit with how well they're interacting with the narrative.
Yeah, that's great. You mentioned something, and this is a great transition. You mentioned using the power within that. And one thing, and I've seen some players struggle with this, and this is something I'd love, to speak to those players out there, and then GMs to hopefully help you to explain this to your players. But these things are meant to be very abstract. I often have players come in and they want to do something very specific. I want to cast X, or I want to shoot my gun, be very specific. And I'm saying, nope, this is just, you are right now, you are outside investigating this facility. In a general sense, tell me how you go about that. If you want to utilize your, you know, I'm using the X power, whatever, you know, I'm using this power to help with that, that's fine. And we'll kind of work in, like you said, you know, if they want to use a power, maybe that affects the DC. The mechanics of those specific features aren't really involved. It's just the narrative flavor of using them and how that impacts the skill challenge. And so that's one thing that I would hope that players walk away from this conversation is, you know, think about that in that abstract general way of, all right, our objective is this, how in the grand scheme do I try to accomplish that?
100%. Yeah, the skill challenge is always going to be kind of more of an abstract view. And for players, I take this as a time because usually, like, everybody has that like character fantasy, and sometimes mechanics get in the way of those fantasies. With the skill challenges, they're a lot more narrative, at least the way I usually run them, they're a lot more narrative and a lot more flavorful. Go hit hard on your character's flavor. This is a time you can really kind of let it loose without feeling kind of constrained as much by the mechanics. Like, don't try to say you're going to jump to the moon, but do whatever your character kind of, what you can imagine them reasonably being able to do, and really kind of apply that and have some fun flavor and bring in your teammates with it too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's the best way to approach this in these things. You know, whether it is simply, you know, getting from A to B in an investigation challenge, how do you go about that and in what way? Or if it's a combat-based, you know, skill challenge and you're, you know, okay, I'm just making sure, throwing down my blaster fire. All right, that's your focus. You know, we'll go about it that way or whatever. Or I want to really utilize the cover that's around here to get off my shots. Okay, instead of doing an attack roll or something else, you know, let's utilize a, you know, dexterity check or something to utilize that cover, right? You know, you're really going to open up the options available to you by thinking outside that box of, all right, yes, this is combat, but what else can I do here? You know, this is really a general sense of what we're going after. And it's not necessarily just, okay, you have to specifically do that specific, you know, action or bonus action or anything like that.
And one thing I would mention with this too, and I think we mentioned this as well, but make sure that your players, usually in mind, I put you can't utilize the same skill that you've used until another round has gone by. So if you used perception round one, you couldn't use it round two, but you could use it round three again, just to kind of make sure that they're mixing up their skills, getting creative with it is, and not maxing whatever skill they've got expertise in and just kind of using that to win.
Yeah, absolutely. Great point there. I've definitely called that out in some of them that I've done. I mean, you could, I don't think you'll have any issue with that, but if a player for some reason really pushes that, you know, raise the DC, like, okay, you can use it again, but, you know, for some reason, you know, think about why that would get more difficult for using the same thing over and over again. But I think you won't have much issue, you know, just push players to use something different. And it, again, it just helps kind of create a different narrative there. I think that's a lot of fun. Yeah. So Tegan, anything else on this conversation as a whole on skill challenges, how to introduce them as a GM or anything like that, how to set them up or just in general use?
My big thing is two things on it. First thing, skill adventures and challenges. If you GMs are a great resource to have, especially if your players do something unexpected and you're trying to figure out how to handle it, this can be a good way to throw it in there. That way you've got some bounds to it, but you can still kind of go through and kind of build out the consequences of kind of what will happen if they succeed. It's a lot easier to kind of quickly build that than try to come up with random mechanics on the fly. Along with that, though, my biggest advice for using skill challenges is just kind of know what your failure states are. Just kind of know kind of if they fail one, if they fail two, if they fail all, kind of what that'll mean for the player. So you have that in hand and can kind of really make that real for the players.
Absolutely. And that obviously is going to be very different with these different types of skill challenges. We've talked about simply clue hunting, where with that one, if they fail, they're still going to get the information they're after. You generally don't want to put information that's important to moving the story forward behind a role. You know, those consequences, as we said, would be maybe more reinforcements or whatever down the road. But if it's a combat type skill challenges, you know, if they're failing, damage to themselves, loss of weapons, resources, etc., or whatever. Yeah, definitely good to think about, you know, even not just the total failure at the end, but failure number one out of three, what does that look like, etc. there. So yeah, all very good and important things to keep in mind.
One other thing I think they're really good with too, I actually did this for when my group was talking to the Galactic Senate. They're also pretty good for like influence type rounds where you're trying to go through and either like persuade somebody on something major or something like kind of a larger scale conversation like that, and try to prove something or try to prove your innocence. They're really good for kind of like those larger, more kind of RP set pieces too.
Yeah, diplomacy or like a courtroom setting to, yeah, different things like that. Absolutely. Yeah, skill, social skill challenges. Absolutely. Awesome. All right. Well, another great conversation there. This is something I really, really enjoy using. I've been using them a lot, I said, in play-by-post games. I think it works really good in that format just because of, the format that it is. But at the live table, absolutely, a great resource to use there as well. So, fellow GMs out there, if you are utilizing skill challenges, please let us know how. If you're doing it differently, we'd love to hear, how that is. Players, if you have any input on skill challenges, what you like about them, what you don't, any changes there, that's also super valuable information to have. So come join us on the Discord and chat about that. And for our Patreon members, tier 2 and 3, be sure to check out our new content pack out today with this episode. Otherwise, Tegan, go ahead and give a shout out one more time for Occupation.
Definitely join us for Occupation and kind of see if the group on their suicide S mission to infiltrate the Terror Attack Shaping Dome, if it goes off successfully. So make sure to tune in and see.
All right, check that out, and we will see you all on the next one. May the force be with you.
May the force be with you.